Hello and welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts Shannon.
Hello.
And James.
Hello.
James, let's start the podcast right the start with you because you have something you need to say following last week's episode of What the Wiki.
Okay, so yes, I do. Obviously, I'm going to keep it really short, really simple. Obviously, I need to make an apology publicly to Ewan.
I
pride myself on how right I am all the time. And last week, I definitely let myself and my team down. In the peak of my hubris, my What the Wiki hubris, I told Ewan that he got... he said Sly Raccoon, and I said, yeah. No, it's Sly Cooper, but it was actually Sly Raccoon. To my credit,
Shannon, Australia and Europe country, European countries, right?
Yeah. To my credit, Shannon piled on with me, so like it's his fault too, really. But I think it's only fair that because of my mistake, I take one of my points off and give one of them to Ewan.
Wow, that's unexpected.
It is very, it is very huge if true, if you ask me.
Yeah. He must be well ahead.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
he's fairly confident I'm not going to catch him.
Nah, Ewan's higher than I thought. But so yeah, obviously.
I love that he looked before making that choice at the leaderboard. Yeah.
It's like, let me just do the math on this.
No, I obviously would like to, that's my apology. Won't happen again. So that would mean that I am now on 10 points, Brody's on 8, Ewan's on 8, so you're tied with Brody.
Wow, exciting. Okay, that is close.
Yeah, Stephen on 4, Shannon on 2. So yeah, huge apologies, everyone. And obviously I'm just over the drama. I'm sick of being involved. I think we just need to drop it and move on.
That was way more humble an apology and genuine apology than I thought it was going to be. I thought that was going to be like, there was going to be some snark to it. But thank you, James. That means a lot. I'm glad we actually realized almost immediately after recording the last episode that we'd screwed that up. I think Brody was listening into our call and realized. But we kind of deliberately just left it unsaid to see what would happen on Twitter. And I'm glad some people out there noticed the shenanigans.
Nobody respects the sanctity of the game more than me. So that's why I just felt like
you're
I
had not to wrong.
Make things right.
You are not wrong. You are like the official keeper of standards.
I was also thinking that maybe we take Shannon's point away, but like it doesn't matter. So we good.
I like to imagine there's this community of listeners out there that kind of get through the news and just don't even bother with What the Wiki, and we have forced it upon them today. I love it. But we should get to the gaming news because we do have a fair amount to discuss this week. Namely, because Shannon has had about a week now,
3 days,
Settle now. It just works nicely as a headline if I write first week with the Xbox Series X. But yeah, I have spoiled what you received there. You do have an Xbox Series X in... I think it might be like just out of the camera shot at the moment, actually. But
yes,
you do, in fact, have one. Now, I know you can't talk about everything to do about it, but you can talk about a reasonable amount now. You've obviously been posting some articles about it through the last couple of days as well.
Yeah.
Did you want to start with the design? Like now, how do you feel about the design now that you've kind of got it there on your entertainment unit?
Yeah, for sure. So pulling it out of the box, which came from America, like the box was smaller than I was expecting from the get go. Like it is big, but I don't think it's as big as I expected it to be.
Did you get the official retail packaging as well?
I did. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk too much about it, but yeah, it was in retail packaging, which is nice. It's a really well-packed box. Like, there's not a lot of room in there outside of the box itself. But, yeah. it's a nice console. It's awkward. Like, if you're lifting it up, like, it's obviously really heavy and awkward to pick up. But no one's going to be doing that. But, yeah, honestly, I really like it. It's a nondiscreet black box. Like, it's not a lot to it in terms of, like, fancy design features. But, yeah, I love it. I love the grill on top and the little painted green vent, which a lot of people are still surprised that it's not a light, which I think I was too, but for a little while. But yeah, it's definitely painted. And it looks good. Like, I don't think you'd want it. It's a light. Like, it'd be cool for the first night, but then I think you'd get over it.
Yeah, and it'd probably kind of glow off, like, yeah, whatever exactly. shelf was above it or whatever as well.
But yeah,
I didn't realize that it wasn't actually a light, but...
I will say it's definitely designed to be stood in the vertical position. Like, it just looks awkward. Mm. It fits in my entertainment unit fine, but it just looks really awkward in horizontal. Yeah.
Are you going to leave it standing on top then, do you think, or are you going to put it horizontal?
I feel like I will put it horizontal, but it's awkward. Like, it's like, yeah. what, four times the thickness of a 1X?
Yeah. It's a chunky boy.
I still feel like it's not going to look as awkward as a PS5, though.
Yeah.
In its form.
Yeah, yeah. Especially, we're going to get to the teardown later in the episode, but especially having seen that this week, like, holy shit, is that a big console. Where are you at on the design of the Xbox Series X nowadays, James? Have you warmed to it at all?
I think it looks fine. Like, I didn't really ever hate it, but I really wish... No, actually, I don't have any wishes. I want it to be a light, but like, I'm team light. But yeah, I think it looks great. I think it's really simple, considering how powerful it is. I don't know. I like that it's different to like every other console. Like, we've never really had like a rectangular, like almost as more like an obelisk almost.
Mm. I will say on it.
I don't have. It's like Shannon said, it's just,
I feel like it's not
box,
offensive. Like I don't know how you couldn't like it. I will say it looks really good on a desk. Yeah. Like, it's sitting here on my desk in front of me, and it's perfect for that. It's like a mini PC. Like, I'd obviously rather that over the huge tower that I have my actual PC in.
I think even like, especially compared to the PS5, like, which I think is like, it's not. That is offensive to me. Like, it's disgusting.
Settle
but, like, it'll be a good console, but like, I don't know. It's just.
It's not garish in any way, like the Series X, right? Like, I've just made a PC that's very black and square, and so I feel like I would, I'd be misplaced to criticize the look of it. I think it's kind of function over form, which I think a lot of people really resonate with. Anyhow, to get to some of its features that you can kind of speak about, you put an article out as well talking about the resume functionality.
Quick resume.
Tell us more about that and how it works and how well it works or not.
Yeah. So again, I can only talk about backwards compatible games that aren't optimized. So like, and even then, it's still only a select number of those. You don't have access in this preview program, non-final preview program, to all the games that are on Xbox One and 360. But yeah, essentially, it works as well as exactly how they described. And that's, I guess, the biggest compliment I can give it. Like, if you change to another game and then go back to the game you're playing, as long as it's single player and like a few multiplayer ones, you'll be left in that exact same spot within 4 or 5 seconds. And I think you can, I've had about 6 or 7 games on the go so far, but again, that's not Series X games. So you would assume that they take up less storage or RAM than they would, but yeah, really impressive. And I think, what I wrote the article because I literally moved my Series X from my TV to my desk and unplugged it and like left it unplugged for a few hours while I was doing other things. And then it still had all 5 or 6 of those game states there ready to go, which blew my mind. Like, that, like, how I do know how it's done now, but I just didn't even think that would be a possibility or something that they would attempt to do. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Is it a similar sort of thing? I've been playing a bit of my PlayStation Classic recently, because I've been streaming a bit of Metal Gear Solid on twitch.tv/YoAndRoxborough. But does it work kind of in the same way that the resume points work on that? Like, it just kind of basically kind of bookmarks a section of the game for you to return back to, regardless of the power of state it's in?
I think so.
Does it have a limit to how many games, I guess, as well?
Yeah, I think ordinarily it's done, and this could be wrong, in RAM. And the thing with RAM is once that RAM loses power, it's meant to reset itself to, like, factory. So that's why they can't do it in RAM. So for the Xbox Series X, it does it in its SSD. So essentially how it was described to me is there's multiple operating systems running on the console, and, like, I assume it's, like, 100 gig that's reserved just for this feature. So all of the states are stored in this separate part of the SSD that can't be used by anything else.
Yeah.
And that's... but still, it blows my mind that, like... I guess it does make sense, because you turn your phone off and turn it back on, and it can essentially be like all of your apps and stuff retain the data. So I guess it is the same as that, just in a better fashion. I don't know. It does make sense when you think about it, but I think
with your phone, it would be storing it in your RAM as well.
I don't know. I'm not even going to pretend to understand how it works, but it works. That's the main thing. It's good. You don't even have to think about it. I think that's the key takeaway. Like, it just, it happens. And it's great.
It's again, like, a feature of this generation of consoles, right? Where it's just kind of convenience more so than anything else. It's taking everything that kind of worked, like, last gen or had a bit of complexity to it. It's just like, okay, we've fixed that now. Like, we've got a solution for you. Which I think is certainly the hallmark for the Xbox. It's just kind of simplicity over anything. Even the way that the expandable memory works, right, is just purely about simplicity more so than anything else.
For sure, yeah. That is, like, my key takeaway is that, obviously, I can't talk about optimized games yet, but just, I was going to write something tomorrow about how, like, even if you're not playing Series X games, like, and you play your Xbox every day, every second day, like, this is a worthy investment. Like, everything just works better, everything loads faster. The expansion card, obviously, you're gonna have to fork out $350 for, so, like, I'm not gonna say that's an improvement. Like, obviously the loading times are improved, but even that as a solution, like, it's like a memory card. You can unplug it while the Xbox is on and it doesn't screw up your whole system like the PS4 or the, I assume, the One X would. Like, it just it just works. Like, everything works super well. Like, considering this is not final in terms of operating system, like, I haven't had any hard crashes. I haven't had any issues. Everything just works as marketed.
Yeah. Does this excite you, James? It sounds like the reception so far has been pretty positive from Shannon.
It excites. Like, it's a cool thing, but, like I've said before about this, like, I just don't feel like I would appreciate it anywhere near as much as I could if I just started using it.
It is. I'm not going to lie. Like,
because I'm never...
Continue, sorry.
No, I just never play that many games at once, I don't think. But, like, I guess when I think about it, like, I did, as an example, like, I just played Hitman and then jumped back to Mortal Kombat and stuff. And I guess playing between those two games, as an example, being able to jump between them really quickly would be really nice, but it's also something that I don't need. But it'll be like, you know, when... It'll just be like, you don't realize you miss it until you might have to give it up, you know? Like, I feel like it's just something that we will take for granted in, like, 3 years, but for now, I don't see the appeal personally. But multiplayer, like, Shannon, how does that work with a game that's multiplayer?
So it's been hit and miss, and I must admit, like, that is kind of the main way that I wanted to use Quick Resume, like going to a game of FIFA or COD and then jumping back to my single player game. And I think even though not all multiplayer games work in the sense that, like, I can't remember what I tested. I think Destiny I tested, maybe one or two other ones.
I think Dead by Daylight.
Dead by Daylight worked. Like, it kicked me from the game, but it still retained, like, its state in the menu. Like, it didn't make me boot it again. Mm. Destiny just completely shut the application. I think it's worth mentioning, though, like, say you go to Destiny, yes, you have to load that up, but then you can then still jump back to, like, Ori and the Blind Forest and play that from where you left off. So it might not work jumping to multiplayer games, but it will work, like, jumping back regardless of whether that game works.
Yeah.
The other thing worth mentioning, and it is sort of to what James was saying, like, it's really useful, but then again, like, considering load times at almost instant on this thing, like, it does make it a little bit more redundant. Like, it's not as if we're going from the load speeds we have today with a quick resume feature. Like, we're going to a new console that already has these insanely fast loading speeds. So, I think it's not a thing that's going to, like, change the way you game dramatically. I don't think anything on the system, to be fair, is going to do that, but it just makes everything a little bit better.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking, like, the one kind of time I might use it is when, you know, we're playing Apex or Fall Guys or something and the servers go down for maintenance and it's like, ah, bugger. Well, let's just jump over to this game for the 15 minutes that we've got until the servers reset or something. Like, I can see that being really handy, but you're right in that if the game kind of loads super quickly anyhow, like, maybe that's not that big a deal.
But the other thing is, like, you can literally update your console and your save states will still be there. Like, that, who doesn't want that, like, as a feature? Like, being able to update your console and then just jump straight back into where you were.
Yeah. Yeah, that is really neat. I like that. I think the only other thing that I really want to ask you about is the controller as well. I saw that you were talking about that in the week too. How does the improvements, the refinements to the already pretty good controller stack up?
I think if you've got an elite controller, like, to be fair, like, yeah, there's not a lot to be excited about here. Like, you're probably going to stick with your elite controller, but
yeah,
I don't know, like, going back and using this Xbox One controller that James just purchased for me in the last week, which thankfully I had to compare to, like, this feels better. Like, everything's matte now, so, like, and it has these nice little grooves on them, so your fingers just stick to them nicely.
Yeah.
The D-pad is no longer... I didn't realize how bad the D-pad was on the original Xbox One controller. You must have had problems with it being a fighting game fan, James, surely, or no?
I mean, most of my fighters are on PlayStation now.
Because of that. All right, well, maybe
it's just, like, super plasticky on
the Elite. The Elite does fix that, but do you think it's better than the Elite?
I do, because it's, like, a mix of both. Both the Elite, which has... There's two variations on the Elite, isn't there, James? There is the cross and the circular one. Like, I...
The satellite...
I think it is. I think it is better than the Elite, because you have, like, the precise movements of, like, a cross, but then you also have, like, the flexibility of a more circular D-pad.
It's just like the best of both.
Yeah, I honestly think it is. I think it's one of the best D-pads I've used on a controller. Like, your fingers just really... glide to it and then glide back to the analog stick nicely. And yeah, the share button, obviously, I think a lot of people forget the Xbox controller didn't have a share button, and that works really well as well. So, and I think that the Elite controller doesn't have that, which I know you've said, James, you wish it did. And I think that is a valid point. So I don't know. I feel like maybe we'll see another Elite controller. I feel like we might in the next year or two.
For sure. Yeah.
They should definitely revise it. I think it's pretty good the way it is. You just have to add that share button in.
Yeah.
And maybe add a third D-pad piece that you can attach instead.
A lot of people had issues with the fact that it still used batteries today for things like environmental reasons and a few other things, which, to be honest, I haven't thought about too much. I don't know if you guys have anything to say about that. Like, I prefer a rechargeable battery personally, but...
Yeah, so do I, but it is quite nice that you don't have to worry about, like, charging. Like, yeah, you swap the batteries out, albeit, like, not that often. I'm amazed at how long the batteries do last.
Yeah.
Admittedly, I don't play an awful lot of my Xbox. But yeah, it is nice just to be able to quickly slap in another couple of AA's and you're back to wireless gaming for hours more. I feel like I'm always charging up my DualShock and it's just always kind of tethered to something, which is frustrating.
But yeah, there's not a lot more I can say at this point. I think the next week is going to be where we really start to see more Xbox Series X stuff. So yeah, which is exciting. It is exciting. Nice. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, when the hardware arrived, like, I think it's obvious that I'm more of a PlayStation gamer for my day to day, but, like, obviously it was cool getting it here and I can totally see the appeal for anyone who plays on an Xbox. Like, this is going to be a worthy upgrade for them for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, excited to hear more. We'll have to look forward to next week. James, JB Hi-Fi, we talked about Target pre-orders last week kind of being a bit of a schmozzle for lack of terms. But JB Hi-Fi have sort of found themselves in a little bit of hot water. And I suppose if you're listening to this episode the weekend that it comes out and you've got a pre-order with JB, you probably want to be jumping on your computer and paying it off pronto. Because they have asked, they've given people with pre-orders 5 days to pay them off, to reserve their spot in the queue, or confirm their spot in the queue. And you can now pay them with gift cards, but they did sort of find themselves in a bit of hot water with that as well. Do you think this is a fair thing to do? Obviously, JB kind of attracted a lot of pre-orders and the fact that it was only a $50 deposit rather than EB's $200. Is this a bit of a frustration for people? Rightly so?
Like, it is shit, but in JB's defense, and like their pre-orders did say, like, on the front, in terms of the... Because are we talking about the gift card thing specifically, or are we talking about...
Well, nah, more so... I mean, now that I feel like the gift card thing's kind of been resolved, if I'm not mistaken. But more so the situation...
Well, not really. It's a pretty... I think it's a shitty solution, personally. But,
Oh, I don't actually know what
I mean, there's...
Let's break it down. Let's go with the stock issue first.
Okay, well, sorry.
Let's go with that.
You can tell that I prepped. So I mean, obviously, like, I think there was a little bit of frustration from people because, like, they were getting text messages saying, yeah, you're not launch. But what I was alluding to before was, like, I feel like in JB's defense, their product page did say, like, you're not guaranteed a launch product. Like, and I think that was pretty clear, but nobody fucking reads anything these days. So, like, as, like, anybody who reads the articles on Press Start knows, and then the comments, like, people just don't do it, which sucks.
Well, yeah, to be fair, though, like, you are, like, frantically trying to pre-order a console. You're not reading the fine print.
Nah, I disagree. I read everything.
Look, if you were a Press Start reader, I agree with James. Like, I made it really clear, like, this is, like, you can pre-order with JB, but it's not guaranteed. So, if you're not a Press Start reader, tough luck.
Yeah. Anyway, so then obviously text went out. Was it this week?
Yeah, it must have been Monday, I think. Yeah, it was Monday. It
feels like a really long
because week. I got my Xbox and posted about it, and everyone was like, "My order's delayed. No 2020 console." Anyway, continue.
So the text obviously confirmed whether or not you were launch or like you were later on, but then they also said like you have to pay it off within 5 days, I think. And you're not allowed to use gift cards. Now, obviously, that's a shit show. Because I think especially with this product in particular, everybody's known it's been coming since, what, like January, February? So a lot of people would have been asking for, like, gift cards for their birthday or, like, putting away money in the form of gift cards. I think it's just because of the way that this whole console cycle has been that it's become so much more of an obvious issue. And then JB is obviously, like, after there's been a bit of a schmozzle, is the nicest way to say it, about these gift cards, JB's turned around and said, okay, so you can pay for it and then send us your gift card details and we'll refund that money back to you.
Yeah.
Which is still pretty shit if you don't have the money up front, especially, like, $750. But apparently it's all because they have a new payment system that they're kind of testing or something, or it's like in early days of implementation or something. Yeah. And this is their best way to get around it, which I totally understand.
Seems like the wrong time to test a new payment system.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think
it's that. Yeah. I think it's their like antiquated order system, like doesn't allow someone to pay a $50 deposit and then pay the rest. Like they had to use something else because although they had to charge a full amount up front, it was those two options and they went with the latter. And right. I think either way, like I don't think anyone has got out, like any retailer has got out of this without copping backlash or doing something wrong. Like I definitely think JB did it the worst way, but I feel like everyone has gone wrong somewhere along the way.
Yeah. I mean, is it just my memory failing me or is this been like just a much more botched kind of pre-order process than previous console releases? Like, I don't remember it ever being this hard.
It was so different. Like, but this is the first time it's been like
an event.
You know, it's coming out next month, pre-order now. Like, it's true. Not like, yeah, it's last been like time we were advance. Pre-ordering, you could pre-order all your shit in February and March, like for November. Like, it was just so much different. Mm. I think you could. Maybe I'm making that up. But it was at least June.
No, you could.
I know E3, I think Microsoft. Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But there was definitely like a much bigger lead up. And because they just both weren't saying anything, this obviously played out the way that it did.
So that's just kind of allowed hype to build up more and just meant there's more people like itching to get their pre-order in, do you think? Like it's a demand logistical sort of thing.
I think the PlayStation 5 thing, I would be interested to know how many people cancel their PS5 pre-orders between now and, I don't know, the end of the year.
Yeah.
Because I definitely think a lot of people were just slapping down deposits just to get one because of the... Because it was on, like, shitty news sites like news.com.au and stuff. Like, the normie media. Like, and so I think a lot of people would have pre-ordered.
You'd be surprised. There's still people in our groups being like, PS5 pre-orders, I just found out about it. Where can I... Like, I think there's a lot of people that still don't know that PS5 release date has even happened.
Mm.
James, you're looking at me like I'm wrong.
Yeah, I feel like...
I'm not.
I feel like there's always going to be people that do just kind of miss out on the news. But, and inevitably, there'll be people come, like, Christmas Eve that walk into a store going, yeah, one PS5, thanks. Like, well, hold
there
on
are,
a second.
There are still a lot of people that think it's just a fake... stock. What am I trying to say?
Like it's artificial.
Yeah,
I think there are
stock issue, and
I,
that's not.
I definitely hear that people think they're doing that, and that like I just think that's really stupid.
Yeah,
no, it's not stupid to think that. Oh no, maybe it is. I don't know. I just think like if they wanted to, they would sell more. Like it's not like they don't make more money.
I think
this
there's
way.
Like there's a possibility they're not going to come out and say, "Oh, we'll have a, like 40 million consoles ready in January." Like I definitely think that they'd be happy with it selling out, but I think they would also be happy with having more for launch for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, like, there's production constraints, and we sort of forget as well that we're in the middle of a global pandemic, and that kind of complicates things too, right? I'm sure, like, they are manufacturing and shipping out as many consoles as they can.
I think, yeah, like, obviously, normally in a good year, you would produce half for the first half of the year as well.
Yeah.
But we can't do that, like, this year, obviously, so the supply is just really there. But we always knew that. I just think we just didn't know how it would look because of how it all went, you know?
Yeah.
To sum up,
and if you want an example, sorry, go on.
No. I was literally just going to say about JB. Like, I've seen a lot of crazy theories thrown around, and I don't think it was a malicious thing to, like, get people not to use their gift cards or, like, screw people over. I think they were just back into a corner, and it was obviously the wrong thing to do, and gift cards had to be used. But, yeah, I do feel like it wasn't an intent to...
Yeah. What about asking for the payment now, though? I guess we've not really covered that. Like, obviously, if you've got a pre-order down or at EB, you're not expected to pay for the full thing until you go to collect it. Why aren't JB doing the same thing? Is it an effort to combat scalpers? Or
no, I just think that's more... They don't want to... I think, like, EB especially, like, there's a big part of it is obviously trading in. And you don't have that as much with other retailers, so they just want you to pay it off. Whereas like EB, if it hasn't been paid off, you can like I'm planning on paying off a chunk of. I haven't paid mine off. I would love to, but I also want to trade my shit in and then see how much it will cost and all that stuff. So
yeah,
I think that's just it's just different types of businesses. But asking for the full amount up front isn't new. Like I'm pretty sure Big W did that in the end, and then Good Guys
Sony Store did
that too
for PS5. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So like I don't think
and
that's,
Microsoft Store like, I think.
Yeah.
And to be honest, like, I don't know if people are like this, but, like, it kind of just gets rid of time wasters. Like, I can just imagine so many people, like, putting a pre-order down, and then you having, as a retailer, to fucking chase people down to get the rest of it, or credit cards bounce, you know?
I get that, but it's not the most customer-friendly thing to do. I can understand kind of, you
but it's
know,
also
wanting,
not,
wanting
but
you to make payments
it's also not, like, a product
it,
that you need, either.
No,
like,
yeah.
We're not talking about like meat.
Sure, there's a few things you need though. I think the five day thing is kind of a sticking point for me because
I don't get the sense of urgency.
5 days is very short notice. Yeah. Like that doesn't give people the opportunity to wait for another payment cycle. You know, like the payday you might have just had your payday and the money's gone straight into something else. So like that's really tough, I think, for a lot of people. And I feel like people would have been working on the assumption that they would have more time to be able to get the money together for this. So,
I think given JB hadn't made any contact with anyone for the last month, like it was rough to then create a sense of urgency when they literally could not give a shit about keeping customers informed.
Yeah, and on top of that, like they couldn't use gift cards as well. So
yeah,
I don't think it was particularly well handled by JB. I can understand the reasonings for why they've done what they've done, but. Yeah, I think they should have done more to avoid the situation. Anyhow, if you want to see a botched pre-order process, just look the way of NVIDIA graphics cards. And there you have an even better example.
You and still refreshing the website.
Way to mention graphics cards every episode.
I talk about the graphics card every
episode.
We've
all moved on. Shut up. Please.
Well, I mean, we don't talk about a lot about PC stuff like on the podcast.
Okay.
I don't know if that many people would, or I don't know if many
but
people
then
would be interested.
When we
for
don't even get you inside on his 48-inch TV, please.
But then don't even. But I mean, like, there were accusations that you have, like, manufacturers flogging their own stuff, like, through subsidiaries.
That's crazy. That's, I feel like that's a whole separate thing to what's happening here.
Totally
definitely
and I don't think we should get into it because we've got other stuff we want to get into, but anyhow, there's another example for you. The PlayStation teardown or a PlayStation 5 teardown was released last night, I think it was, as of recording. and it was not what I expected at all, but very kind of exciting to see, especially for us kind of more kind of geeky technical people, I suppose, which we've established we aren't. But there's a few things I suppose we could dig into here. Firstly, though, Shannon, the custom side panels. Surely that is a thing. Like, that has to happen now, right? Those bad boys pop straight off.
I think so. Like, I was kind of expecting like a PlayStation blog post to follow up being like, at launch, you'll be able to buy black side covers. Like, yeah, something. I don't know. It's
I guess
it's
not a launch. 22. Like, they're committing to that sort of wide.
Not at launch, because imagine they were like $80 for two black side panels. I feel like that would not go down well. But
let me buy a black console.
At the same time, like, I feel like it's awesome. Like, it's going to mean that people don't need to buy special edition consoles anymore. Like, you're just going to be able to buy...
Yeah,
I don't know. Did like 360 faceplates ever take up? Like,
I was about to say, like, you're saying, yeah, what a cool idea. But like, I remember Sony also did for the original PS4.
Yeah,
the slide off ones. You can make
this
them gold.
Different, like, though. Like, wow, this is like, this is both sides.
We never need another special edition console again.
Yeah, I know. This is both.
The 360
sides.
Faceplate thing was shit. Like, I don't think that'll be a thing. But I think this is maybe you could like dip them in paint and then make them black.
Yeah, they're going to customize them. Release customizable ones.
No. Are they even
but other people will. Surely there's going to be Etsy stores where you buy custom wings.
Because the stand is harder to come off than the sides, right? That's what the vibe I'm getting from the memes.
Yeah, literally. Like, there's no screw or anything. Okay. It just pops straight off. Nah,
you just kind of grab a corner and just kind of flex it out, don't you?
I mean, is there anything to stop you from just taking the white things off and it's just a black console then?
No, honestly, I've got that written down as a question because I've seen people on Twitter suggesting they're going to do just that. Just take the white bits off and just kind of leave
the
like,
wings.
The wings
must help direct air or something. Like, they wouldn't have created those huge wings for this, just for the fun of it.
No, and I think what they kind of help do as well, which is one of my coolest things I think came out of this teardown, was that they sort of like direct the dust into like these little pockets that you can then vacuum the dust out. It is the most Sony thing ever, but I freaking love it.
I know. We don't know what the UI is, but we know that there's little dust holes. That's
dust holes.
Yeah. important messaging that matters for sure.
To be fair, as I got absolutely railed for our entertainment unit, so I'm down for anything that will help me get rid of dust around my consoles.
Yeah, I was suggesting you plaster dip like the wings as well in something black. That would seal the deal, I feel. How do we feel about the cooling as well? Like, it's obviously got this enormous fan that kind of sits like right through the kind of top corner of the console. I think I don't quite know like how it. Like, it exhausts air, but that is the intake fan that kind of scoops it in from both sides.
And it's liquid cooling as well, isn't it?
It's got liquid metal cooling.
Liquid metal, okay, I don't...
I think that's what transfers, like, the heat from the CPU into the kind of air chambers that it's got.
I don't know anything about it, but, like, reading online and, like, looking at the size of it, like, it must be good for noise and heat. Like, you would think, you would bloody hope, or
it must be good.
I'm lost
literally
for
the one,
because that is one thing I didn't speak about with the Xbox, but it's like whisper quiet. Like, even when running like anything, like, it's been whisper quiet. I haven't heard anything out of it fan wise.
The Xbox's fan is just like sat at the top of it, right?
Yeah.
And it pushes air out of
it
the top,
does,
or it sucks it in.
It pushes it out.
Right. Okay. Nice. I like it. The other thing I was going to ask you too was about the M2 slot. James, we've sort of like discussed a little bit at the start of the show about how accessible the expandable memory is for the Xbox. Can you see people kind of prying the plastic off and undoing this little latch that accesses that second slot for the SSD? Or is that still going to be a bit problematic for some consumers?
I haven't watched the video, sorry. But I would assume it's no worse than replacing your hard drive in a PS4 right now, right?
Yeah, it's easy.
I think
it's
easier.
Significantly easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, that seems fine. And SSDs especially, I feel like they plug in a bit easier than the normal hard drives, or they're probably the same. I don't know. Like, I think it's fine. I kind of worry for, like, if someone is in a, you know, like, someone who doesn't know anything about games and shit, and they're expected to buy a hard drive. Because, can I just confirm, there's no external, there's no way to expand externally, is that right? For the SSD?
Not with the same speeds. I don't think they've really kind of given
It's exactly the same. Like, even the way, like, the Xbox and the PlayStation use their external... like, it's still internal storage. They go in different ways, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, so if you want to get expansion for your Series X games, you buy the Seagate card. But if you want to expand for your PS5 games, you have to do the internal thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's no way to do it externally?
This is internal. Like, it's the same thing. It's very...
Yeah, I feel like you're trying to, like, expand my question. Story,
not external. Like, rather than get Sony anything PR that plugs into any of the external ports. Like,
you went, tell him, they're exactly the same...
They are the same sort of storage. Like, they're both plugging. Xbox has kind of created this proprietary plug that you're allowed to
allow. Don't get me wrong, this is definitely better. Like, the Xbox way of doing it is 100 times better, and I love it.
I think it's 100% more convenient.
Yeah, it's more convenient.
Because it's like, you buy this one thing and you plug it into this one port in the back. Like, it doesn't get any simpler. The advantage of what PlayStation's doing, I suppose, is that you have more option as to the type of SSD that you would buy. And
so
plug
you don't
in.
Have to buy proprietary, is the idea, right?
You don't have to buy proprietary.
Samsung
as far as I know.
Seagate or WD, I assume.
Or like Kogan.
The challenge is that the SSD, to match the speed of the SSD that's built into the PlayStation, I see your eyes glazing over already. There's not an awful lot on the market, if I'm not mistaken.
That's what I thought.
I think that's due to COVID as well.
True. And it will only get better in time. And I suspect the price of the Seagate expansion card for the Xbox 2 will go down over time. I won't deny that the Xbox One is way simpler. It's not...
Xbox Series.
Stupidly complicated for the PlayStation.
Insane.
It does give you a bit more flexibility, but yeah.
I don't think that the issue is with people... putting it in. It's explained to people 4,000 times that, like, this is what you can use an external hard drive for.
Yeah.
This is what you need an SSD. Like, that is the biggest challenge I'm finding with people. And I feel like that's the biggest issue that they're going to have with people.
So, as I understand it, PS4 games you can play off a hard drive, an external hard drive that plugs in via USB. but you can only transfer PS5 games. They have to be transferred
store them.
Onto the PlayStation to then play. Anyhow, okay, cool. Glad we can clarify that a little bit. I think the only last kind of question I had on this point was Xbox's tweet kind of poking fun at the PS5 to swapping the orientation. James, do you think that tweet was a mistake? They were kind of emulating the fun that PlayStation poked back in the day of how easy it was to play... secondhand games. Do you think this was a bit off the mark, though?
No, what do you mean? Like, they can have fun if they want to. Sony. Like, why is it off the mark when Xbox does it, but then when PlayStation does it, it's okay, Ewan?
Look, you knew what you were going to get from James. I don't even know why you went to it.
But, like...
Why did they delete the tweet, then?
But, I can't even speak. You know can I spock?
Is that a stand? Like
that's a stand. It stands up.
Exactly.
It stands up. What's
for audio
you
listeners,
just flex
which
you've got an Xbox. Like we get
podcast.
It. You don't have to show us. Yeah. We understand what it looks like. Like
Shannon's picked up his Xbox and is complaining about.
But
the
to be honest, Ewan, didn't Xbox?
Side of it.
Xbox has already done that. Like they did it with the smart delivery thing. With when they talked about Spider-Man, and then Xbox was like, just buy the game.
That was a better use of it. That was a much better.
I just don't understand why people
are upset. The stand thing is dumb.
Like I just whatever.
I don't know why they deleted it. I'd love to know why they. I feel like it was like instant. It was like literally before I'd even finished my article, they had tweeted that. So I feel like someone has just gone rogue. And tweeted it, and then Big Phil's got on the phone and been like, "Nah, we're not doing this." And then they've had to delete it.
Big Phil,
yeah,
Big Phil.
I feel like of the battles to pick, that was a bit of a petty one. But I mean, I guess back in the day, PlayStation was pretty petty about it as well. So it was all just a bit unnecessary. Anyhow, I reckon with that. We wrap up and play a round of What the Wiki, the controversial What the Wiki, the Press Start podcast game show, where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. The first to guess two games correctly wins a round and takes home the points. And speaking of those points, they've got a little bit complicated with the adjustments that happened at the start of today's episode. So James still in the lead on 10, Brody myself on 8, Stephen on 4, Shannon on 2, the winner of last week's episode, and Matt and Harry on one.
Can I get a point for this if I just get through it well without fucking it up?
I don't know why you get so nervous about this.
I don't get, because you both just looked at me like I was ridiculous last time.
Nah, I wasn't even on, I wasn't on cam last time, good. So I know what you're talking about. Are you imagining my eyes?
I could feel it. I could feel your energy through voice.
All right. We're just concentrating. That's all it is.
Are we ready?
We're ready for you, Shan.
Yeah, like stage fright.
Just looking at it and thinking I've set myself up for a horrific round again. The third person perspective in the game was redesigned to be more over the shoulder than it had been in the predecessor. The character creation section of the game was refined to take less time and the predecessor, with players able to skip the tutorials and proceed across the wasteland once their character is set up. The option to make any last changes to their character occurs when the players step beyond the boundaries of the starting location of Good Springs. The game takes place during the year 2281 within the region surrounding the former city of Las Vegas. Around 4 years after the events of the predecessor, and roughly around 204 years after the Great War. Ewan?
Is this Fallout New Vegas?
Yes.
It's like the one Fallout game I've not played, which I feel like it's kind of blasphemous to say, but that was the Goodwill, the Good Springs thing got me. I was like, shit.
When you guys do this, do you remove the game name from what you're reading?
I'm curious. Well, because if we read the game name, we know what the game is.
Yeah. Are you trying to like read around it?
Yeah, I am, and it's not.
Yeah, I edited it for myself. Yeah.
All right.
Oh, I see what you
mean. You're doing good. Don't worry.
Is he?
Keep the points coming my way.
Game two. A youth named Guybrush Threepwood arrives on the fictional Malay Island with the desire to become a pirate. He seeks out the island's pirate leaders who set him three trials that must be completed to become a pirate. Yeah.
Is this a secret? Yeah. You did this last time too. Like, you get this like disappointment. Yeah.
Because I feel like it's too quick, but I think it's just I'm setting myself up for this.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Cool. This is just the...
It's not on you, Shan. Like, sometimes the Wikipedia descriptions are just, like, very obvious. Yeah,
it's
true.
It's definitely that.
These are the best rounds. Game number
three. 10. This is... If Ewan can get this one, it's going to be close. Oh,
it's getting real spicy.
The environment of the game must be used to the player's advantage more often as the game progresses. The first two battles take place on simple, large, flat areas of land, with the only goal being to discover how to scale the monster and attack their weak point. However, the majority of the following 14 battles require that some aspect of the battlefield be used.
James?
The protagonist of the game... Yep.
Nah, can you keep going? It's not...
What is that? Is that...
It's not Shadow of the Colossus, is it?
No!
It is.
Oh, yes! It literally, I couldn't get the last Guardian out of my head. I'm like, it's not that one. It's the other one. And the name was eluding me until literally the second before James said it. God damn it.
So the game I was going to use instead of Monkey Island was Time Splitter, which also I feel like James would have got quite easily. So
yeah.
There you go.
That was a fair round. It was a very fair round.
Yes.
Well done, James. You've got your point back.
We need to, have like a third party adjudicator now, I think.
Why? What was wrong with the sanctity of the game there?
No, I'm just saying, because now we can't trust anyone.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Jamie Penning, come back. With that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start podcast. Subscribe to us on the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at press.com.au. You can join the conversation with hashtag PressStartCast. We've been joined today by Shannon.
You can follow me at shancake _. Go look at my PS1 versus Xbox Series X expansion memory card post. It's up to 700 likes. Viral.
And we've also been joined today by James.
Yeah, I'm on @James on Twitter, so @JAMZ. exciting times.
You can find his full written apology over on his Twitter account as
I'll be releasing it as a statement soon. There'll be a video as well.
Can you do one of those like tweet longer posts? Yeah.
I'm going to write it in my notes app and then take a screenshot of it.
Yeah. Just an apology and then the note screenshot. Yeah. I love it. I've been your host, Ewan Roxburgh. You can follow me and Twitter and Instagram at Ewan_Roxburgh and on Twitch at Ewan Roxburgh. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.